Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone. And greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into this study this evening, I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come forward so that the words that are spoken this evening are yours and not mine. And the thoughts are yours and not mine. The Holy Spirit, Father, will open our hearts and minds to be receptive to this your word, giving us knowledge, wisdom, and truth. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. This morning, we had stopped, actually, here in chapter 5 with verse 13. So we're going to be picking up with verse 14. Then hopefully we'll get through the rest of chapter 5. There's 33 verses to it. There's still a lot for you and I to receive and to understand. So beginning here now with verse 14. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Now we know that here he's talking that since exposing sin is beneficial, God invites the unbeliever that now that sleepeth to turn from his sin and arise from the dead with the promise that he will be granted the spiritual enlightenment and help needed, and Christ shall give him light. Now, as long as we walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have that light of Almighty God in our lives. But when we walk the ways of this world, we're moving out of that light and into darkness. And we will be following Satan and his bunch. Now, 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. You know that circumspectly means therefore watch carefully how you live. So you see, we must always know how we stand in and with the Lord Jesus Christ and with the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that brings that knowledge and wisdom and all things that we need to each one of us. Now, 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Now, that redeeming the time or making the most of every opportunity contextually, the specific opportunity in view is that of exposing the sins of the lost and being a witness to them, because the days are evil. And it assigns a reason to seize each opportunity. And it is because the sins being committed during these days are so evil. And we know that right now, here in our land, where we live, in our lifetime, this land has never been this evil. It's calling good things evil and evil things good. And 2/3 of the teaching, even in our churches, really more than 2/3, are things that are being taught contrary to the word of Almighty God. And this is something that if we don't, as the children of God, stand together, and especially in prayer, seeking the help and the guidance of Almighty God by the Holy Spirit to give us the help we need to straighten things out, we're going to find things in a lot worse shape. Now, 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Now, wherefore, looks back to the evil days, actually verse 16, and since the current age is so perilous, morally, Christians must clearly understand what the will of the Lord is. And the only way you and I can do that is by the study of His Word and communication with Him in prayer. spending more time with the Lord and in the Word. But so many today, they put everything else before anything of the Lord. Instead of putting things as they should be, which is putting the Lord first and then other things as they should be. Now, 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We know that we're not to be drunk. And we're told in God's Word not to drink strong drink. And you know, this verse gives an example of what is and what is not the Lord's will. And believers are not allowed to be intoxicated with alcoholic beverages. And the reason for this prohibition is wherein is excess. That is, drunkenness leads to moral intemperance. And this is clearly contrary to God's will. His will is that Christians be filled with the Spirit. That is, they are to allow Him to fill them with God's own life, with His character and His virtue. And the analogy between these two moral states is this: a person filled with wine is under its influence. Similarly, a Christian is filled with the Spirit when he controls his thoughts, attitudes, and actions. We know why the Lord don't want us using strong drink and being intoxicated. Because we all know those that drink and drink heavily, and when they are under the influence, they have no control over themselves or their flesh either. They say things that they have no understanding about. They say a lot of things they don't even remember saying. And they'll say a lot of things that hurts a lot of people without even knowing what they said or done. And they'll do a lot of things with the body, with this flesh, that they should not be doing and wouldn't do really otherwise. Now, 19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, and spiritual song singing, and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And you know, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now you take those three verses, and when you put them together and go to look at what we are told, there are four results of being Spirit-filled. One, believers speak to one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's something even when we are in church, in service, that we all receive joy through doing. And yet, we are reaching out in those things in giving praise, honor, glory, and thanks unto the Lord God. And then, you know, they exhort and instruct each other. The two there is singing and the making of melody of individual song and praise for the Lord. We all have our favorite songs. Now, three, there is giving thanks always. The Spirit enables the Christian to be grateful for all things divinely allowed to enter his life, since they will be used for good. And four, there is mutual submission that is showing deference to the wishes of one another as long as that to which the believer submits is in the fear of God, which is to say, in accord with what pleases him. What about your life? Is your life pleasing to him? Or are you using most of it for selfish and pride? Now, 22. Now here, some more controversy. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. As unto the Lord. You know, this is a comparative clause, but in Greek there are two different types of comparative clauses. And one which means that the wives are to give their husbands the same unquestioned absolute submission that they give Christ. Now, would this apostle expect wives to render the same submission to imperfect husbands they give to their perfect Lord? When other apostles recognize the periodic need for believers to obey God rather than man, if the will of human and divine authorities clash, it is better then to take this comparative clause as that which means that wives are to submit to their husbands as submission rendered by them truly in submission rendered to Christ himself when the wife yields her will to that of her husband, she yields to the Lord, provided the husband's directions are in the fear of God or in line with God's will. She is to be submissive to her husband as long as her husband is in the will of God. But if he's not, then she is to stay in the will of God. And that can cause problems within a marriage. That's why we really all, when we are looking for one to be our helper through life, and I'm speaking to both ladies and men, when you are looking for that other one to belong to you and to be there with you, You need to be in unity. And that unity in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because anything else, you're going to have a lot of problems. And as things are today, more than half of all marriages today end in divorce, which leads to other wrongs, other sins. Think about these things. Because you see, this is what is bringing so much of our land into a lot of problems and troubles today, is because we have gotten away from the Word of Almighty God. And we're not stopping to think about what we are doing. And we don't know. If you are a man or a woman of God, before you get into unity with someone else to be a spouse, make sure that they are also. Now, 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. We know that there in verse 23, he's given us the reason why 22 calls for that wifely submission, which we have just talked about. Because God did appoint man as head or authority over woman, just as the Lord is the head and authority over the church and over the man. You see, man, you're not on your own. You've got a head over you. Are you being submissive to him? That is the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about these things. Now, verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now, you know, the extent of the wife's submission to her husband is in everything. That is, in every area of life and every issue that may arise, those which the wife may agree with, and those which she may not, again in everything, is limited only to those directives of the husband that are in the fear of God. That is, those conforming to God's will. Another verse telling us that same thing. Her submission is to be to a husband that is in the will of God. Now, 25. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. How much do you really love your wife? And what are you really ready to give for your wife? Are you ready to give your life for your wife? We are supposed to be. 26. that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, that verse there, 26, may be paraphrased that he might perfectly sanctify the church, having cleansed her by the gospel, accompanied with the washing of water. When will he perfectly sanctify the church? When he returns for her in glory? When was the church cleansed? As conversion? How was her conversion affected by the gospel or the word? And what ritual is to be associated with one's conversion? The washing of water, that is water baptism, which is the outward symbol of an inward change. And that is when we put on the death of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You know, the ultimate purpose of Jesus' love for the church is to present her to himself as a chastened bride, as a man wants a sexually untainted virgin as bride. So Jesus wants his church to be without moral flaw. And he's not going to accept any sin in it. But you can't get them to understand that today, because of pride and their selfishness and wanting to do things their own stubborn ways. They're setting aside too much of God's word. And one day they're going to stand before him and find that it's too late. Now, 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. That's the way it should be. 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. You mean this old building we got out here, this church, we've got, God loves that church? No, that's not the church he's talking about. He's not talking about anything that's called church, that's made out of wood, brick, or concrete that's made with hands. He's talking about the church that is flesh, the one he is, that he wants to live in, the one he wants to be clean, without sin, to live and to walk with him, and to help him bring the harvest in that is ripe and ready to be gathered. That's what we are all to be about. And we each, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, there is a work waiting for every one of us. We will need to find out what that work is and then get busy at it and bringing it all together. And yes, we should try to keep it all together. Those of us that belong to a group, we need to be building that group. As much as possible. That's the way the Word of God grows. If we all go our separate ways, we're not going to get much accomplished. Maybe a little bit, but we're not going to get much accomplished. Now, when we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones, how did we get that way? We got that way through being baptized in His name unto Him, putting on His death, His burial, and His resurrection. Now, 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one. You see, that is the way we are to love our wives, that we become one flesh. She is to be there to us before anyone else, except for the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's to always be number one in your life and also in hers. Think about that. But so much of it is not really so. Now, 32. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul is letting us know that he is speaking to the church about the Lord Jesus Christ and the way things are to be. 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. That is the way we are to get along with each other. But we're not finding that today, are we? Because most of us, we're not that close. There has been something happen that has caused us to be separate, our beliefs and things. And that's why today, right now, the statistics are 55% of all marriages end in divorce. But that should not be, especially according to the Word of God and with those that are the children of God. These are things we need to be working on in our lives and building them. We have now come to the end of chapter 5 of Ephesians. And God willing, come morning, we'll finish the book of Ephesians. And it's only 6 chapters long. And let's see, it's 24 verses. So let's hope that we can get through it in the morning, and we'll be going into Philippians. But there is a whole lot in chapter 6 for you and I to really take a look at, put into our lives. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. And Father, I thank you for the time that we can come together to share your word with each other, to learn and to receive knowledge and wisdom, the knowledge of your word and the wisdom, Father, to use it to help build this ministry, Father. Let us all work so that we, as we stand together and as we walk in unity, working with the Holy Spirit, we can help to bring those that are walking in darkness from that darkness to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of this world, so that they too, Father, can make heaven their home. And Father Israel, peace to them. And Father, I pray for them to all to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known as the land of Jesus. This land of ours, Father, I'm praying for it. And I'm praying, Father, for those that are in places of leadership in this country that are evil, for them to be removed from their office and replaced by those that are walking in righteousness, that love you, love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this country. And that will work with us to bring this land to repentance and put our government back on the foundation in which it was founded, that being your word, the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, for those that are with this ministry, study with us. That has studied with us, Father. I'm praying for them tonight, each and every one of them. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy's son Jacob, and Amy herself, Father, and Father, for Bobby and Millie Johnson, James Taylor, for my wife and myself, and all others that has listened to the internet, for each and every one of them, Father, this night. Keep them in health. Keep them safe. And bring us back together again in the morning, Father, at 10 a.m. and back into your word. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great day, a good evening, and a good night. And I pray you've been walking through this day with the Lord Jesus Christ. Good evening, all.